Voices of the Temple, official podcast of the Temple of Witchcraft, exploring mystery and magic through love, will, and wisdom, hosted by Adam Sartwell.
Hi, listeners. Before I get into who I am with today, let us get into sacred space together. I call upon the Great Spirit. I call on the two who move as one through the three rays of love, will, and wisdom. I call upon the goddess, maiden, mother, and crone, past, present, and future, creator, sustainer, and destroyer, weaver of the web. I call on the God, Lord of light and Lord of darkness, God of the green and the gold, God of the horn and the red, singer of the song. Be with us now and forever. So would it be? All right, listeners, I'm here with Ashara. Hi, Ashara.
Hey, how are you?
Good. So let us dive into all the questions I have for Ashara. So how do you spiritually identify, Ashara?
I am a witch. Which I'm a witch, witch. So it's kind of interesting as you were asking me this question earlier, and I was thinking about it because when I first started in Witchcraft One, I was very hesitant to describe myself as a witch because I felt like that was such a heavy mantle to like put on myself. Like that title meant a lot, and I didn't really feel comfortable using it. So for a long time, I just described myself as spiritual, but now I am proudly a witch.
That's awesome. Thank you. So what is your witchcraft origin story?
Ooh, so that's a big one. So I grew up in a religious cult. We were very fundamentalist Christian. I guess you would call us Baptist if we had to have a denomination, but my church described as non-denominational. And so with everything that goes along with that, if you've ever seen the documentary Jesus Camp, I would have fit in perfectly with those children. So that was kind of my start to things. And as I got older, and particularly in college, you know, one of the things they say about college is that it teaches you to kind of think for yourself. And it definitely did for me too. So even though I went to a Baptist college, I remember sitting in this Old Testament class. We had to have Old Testament for one semester and then New Testament the second semester. And I remember raising my hand about 2 weeks into the New Testament course and going, "So God's the same yesterday, today, and forever?" And the professor was like, "Yes, well, yes, that's right." And I said, "Okay, but in the Old Testament, he was like murdering babies and encouraging genocide. And now he's like love and light. And so either God changed, or we're talking about a totally different entity in the Old Testament than we are in the New Testament. And I'm just trying to figure out which it is." And they did not like that very much. So that caused some problems. As I kind of grew older, a lot of the indoctrination that I was exposed to as a child came to a head in around my Saturn return. So I was 28, 29 years old, got into a pretty abusive, horrific relationship. So I was there for a while. And for a while after I got out of that, I struggled very hard with PTSD and other things of that nature, and didn't really know what to do with it because I didn't really have the spiritual side of it, right? So I was going to therapy. I was trying to like put all the little pieces back together and heal myself, but I didn't have the tools to really be able to do that. And my therapist, I remember one day, was just like, "Have you ever explored spirituality?" And I got very angry with my therapist. And I was like, "You know, I'm never going to set foot inside the church again. I don't believe you would even say that to me." And she just kind of looked at me and said, "Wasn't talking about the Christian church." And I went, "Okay, So I explored everything I could get my hands on about every faith path and spirituality and religion that I could. So I spent about the next year just kind of studying. And long story short, come to find out that stumbling upon Scott Cunningham and the Wicca Guide for a Solitary Practitioner, and just kind of reading through that and realizing that a lot of those things that he talked about in that book are things that I already kind of believed, that just really resonated with me on a much deeper level. That just combined with the messaging, not that you're separate from God, but that you're actually a part of God, that I'm divine, you know, and that was just such a powerful moment for me. And the rest, as they say, is kind of history.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I can resonate with your story. Not that I was raised in that, but getting to college and having to, defend beliefs or explore beliefs. I took a class that was one of the they were doing an experiment of trying to combine different departments in one class. So like it was like war and peace and something like that. And we had this one part that was, we were going over some battle in the Bible, and I can't even remember which one it was. That's so sad. But there was a woman in there who was a reverend, or at least that's what she said. And she was, and going on and on and making me super uncomfortable because at that point I'd been a witch for a while. So I was like, I feel very uncomfortable. I went to the professor and I was like, I felt uncomfortable with that. And she's like, next time, just say something. I'll cut her off if she tries to get like you to stop. And so she started in on her thing, and I said, I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to stop you. Like, we're talking about holy wars, right? And I said, can you tell me, were there any holy wars in the pagan world that didn't have to do with resources? These religions gave us holy wars. And she lost it. She turned bright red and just like stormed out. And I was like, okay, just a thought. Anyway.
I mean, I think that it's so interesting just to look at people who I think the term that people use now for it is deconstruction, like they're deconstructing their faith. And I resonate so much with like all the stories now, and they didn't have like YouTube and stuff, right? Like when I was deconstructing, really, to be able to hear other people's stories, but just listening to them now and really resonating with like people feeling lied to because they didn't understand their own origins of Christianity or whatever religion they happen to be raised in, or like coming to terms with the fact that there's some really horrible shit in the Bible.
Yeah, there's some
Right?
really weird things.
Like genocide and sexual slavery and like all kinds of stuff, right? That's like right there, and it's right there for anybody to read, but nobody seems to
Focus on
realize
that.
or focus on it. And when you do try to draw attention to it, there's excuses made for it. And it really shines a spotlight on like the cognitive dissonance that exists in a lot of these religions. And like I think that something I appreciate about witchcraft, and particularly about our tradition, is embracing cognitive dissonance, right? And understanding that several things can be true at once, and really understanding like the ugly and the beautiful parts of where we come from. And just being like honest about that, because all of it is sacred and is a part of who we are.
So before we go down in any more of that road, we're just going to toss it aside for a moment. You are the chairperson of Temple Hearth this year, and I want to know what can we look forward to, or what you're looking forward to, from this amazing online event?
Oh, so many things. So for those who don't know, Temple Hearth is our yearly online gathering. It happens over Imbolc weekend every year. It was born out of the pandemic during a time where we really couldn't gather in person. And I think that it's just such a beautiful event in so many ways because it's really taken a lot of kind of the distance members of the temple and connected them in a more tangible way. And I think that we've really kind of like realized the power of that kind of event in a way that maybe we hadn't before. And so I have such a love for this particular event. So I'm so honored to be chairing for it this year. So this year it will be January 31st through February 2nd. And there's a lot that you can look forward to. So on January 31st, the lovely Selena will be doing the Bardic Circle, which she does every year. And so that provides the opportunity for community members to get online and kind of read their stories, their poetry. We've had people sing songs before, read someone else's poetry, as long as you attribute it to, who you need to attribute it to. But just kind of a sense of community and gathering and sharing of art, which is super powerful. So there's that to look forward to. Then there's a ton of classes. So I am super excited about a few different classes. One of them from Steve Kenson, who's going to be doing Pagans and Polyhedrals, which I'm super excited about because I have been a role player for many years. And so I'm kind of a geek that way. So I'm really excited because there is a huge cross section, right, between pagans and role players. And like the Ren Faire scene and like all of that just kind of all together because it like is that same part of our brain, right? So I'm really, really excited about that one. And then the other one that I'm really looking forward to is Karen Ainsworth. She's doing Scandal on the Yorkshire Moors, Women Who Love Women. So she's doing that about an English author known as Gentleman Jack, but really her name was Anne Lister. And so while this author isn't particularly pagan, I'm really excited to kind of hear what she has to say about that. So in addition to that, there's morning coffees, there's mealtime discussions, there will be a Saturday night Imbolc ritual and a community ritual on Sunday night from Christopher. For the first time this year, we're having a witchcraft panel. So on Sunday afternoon, we'll be having a panel of four community members just kind of talking about witchcraft then and now. So that's going to be a discussion just about how the community has changed through the course of the years, particularly with the advent of the internet and social media, and just kind of how that's changed how we learn and how we communicate and how we connect with each other.
That's awesome. It sounds like a fun event.
So anyone who would like to register for that can go to templeofwitchcraft.org/templehearth and click on the link. Love to see
Excellent. And, just because I know there will be people who ask, there are usually recordings that are sent to people. So if you have to step out to take a nap, like I did one year, I was so tired. You can listen to the you can listen to the class after if you'd like to. So you are the organizer for our temple retreat to New Orleans.
I was.
So what do you think is the importance of retreats like this?
I think that getting out of your own environment is kind of akin to getting out of your own head. I think that getting into another destination and like a different, changing your surroundings, can be a really refreshing experience. kind of like, gutting your entire altar and like rearranging it, right? It's the same sort of experience where it's just like this this fresh energy that you've brought in to your space, except you're bringing yourself into a new space. So you're the fresh energy there. And so that's always kind of fun. And I think that it's just an awesome learning experience, like just kind of traveling out and seeking out that those new experiences and that new knowledge is a really powerful way to discover things about yourself and the world around you.
That's awesome. So, what was your favorite part of the retreat?
I don't know, Adam.
I mean, what were some of your favorite parts of the retreat? Was
I
that?
really liked the community dinners. I really loved just being able to sit at the end of some super long, very hot days.
Yes, they were very hot.
and just kind of listen to live music or sit out on a patio and with the breeze going and just connect with the community, because at the end of the day, I think that's what all of this is about, right? Is just connecting with each other and being a part of something that's bigger than ourselves. And so just kind of building those connections. I know that I got to know you in particular a little better on that trip, which I really loved. So that was one of my favorites. I also really loved the swamp tour. That to me was one of my favorite days.
That was an amazing swamp tour. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Got to meet some gators.
We did. We got to meet some gators. We may have seen a pig running off into the
May
weeds.
or may not have.
May or may not.
It's
I
not
didn't see it. I wasn't looking the right
confirmed.
way. And got some swamp water on us, when they splashed around on the boats.
And I think that that was a really fun day, also, just because for us as witches, like we've done the New Orleans tour before, but that's the first time we've done a swamp tour with it. And I feel like for us, getting out into nature like that and like connecting with that part of New Orleans was really cool.
I having done all of the past New Orleans ones because I was either teaching or facilitating or whatever, we also hadn't done the steamboat.
Oh yeah, I forgot about
Yeah, that was
that.
amazing.
Even without
I've
the air conditioning.
yeah I really wish that I hadn't come down with a fever right after that, but
I forgot about that.
oh yeah, that and handing off my husband's my notes for my class because I was like, I'm deathly ill, I'm going to lay in this bed and not move, yeah, but I did get to go on that and the swamp tour, so
Thank
that's
goodness.
good. But I didn't get to do some of the other things like making the voodoo dolls with Mary, or I did get to do the shop crawl, but I stayed away from everyone. I was like, oh, I'll go along, but I'm gonna keep my distance just in case.
Did you get to listen to Lilith Dorsey talk about voodoo
Yes,
traditions?
I did
She
get
was pretty awesome. She
to
was
listen
amazing.
to Lilith, and I really the kind of the ones I missed were my own and Steve's presentations. I got to see a little bit of Christopher's and Lilith Dorsey's, so. But New Orleans is just, it's got a great vibe. It's got a weird, well, it's a weird vibe.
It is weird.
It's a weird vibe. It's like muddy water to me. Like, that's what it feels like. It's fun to play in muddy water every once in a while. Now, for those who haven't experienced the magic of New Orleans, what is it? I mean, I kind of got into it. What is it like?
I think that your description of muddy water is absolutely perfect, because you have like this, it is a very watery place, like physically and energetically. Like
Oh,
there's a
yeah.
lot of magic and emotion that goes on here. And also there's the dead are very active here,
Oh,
very,
yeah.
very active, particularly the forgotten dead here, because you have the forgotten dead from the uglier times of slavery, but then also because of the hurricanes that have come through here over over the years,
And
there's
plagues.
a lot of and plagues, right? Like everything here, there's a lot of that. And
Yeah.
so that just combined with the traditions of voodoo and actually there's quite a big following of British traditional Wicca down here too, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty underground unless you know someone who like knows someone, but it's definitely here. But I think just like all of that combined and then looking at the genus loci of this place, and it just creates this rumbling under the ground that is tangible. You can feel
Yeah.
it just walking through the city. So the city itself has a personality that's unlike any other place that I've ever lived or been. In living here for the past several years, I've been here since 2016. So I was a transplant from St. Louis, Missouri, which is another one that has kind of like this necropolis-y energy to it. But I have found that a lot of people who live in New Orleans are transplants from other places.
Yeah.
And they all say the same thing. And it's that this is just a city that gets in your blood and under your skin. And you can't leave once you're here, which sounds very ominous when you say it like that,
Yeah,
right? But
it kind of does.
it's really true. It's like it's like entering the fairy realm and eating food, right? Like you can't leave after that.
Yeah.
You always come back.
And there is some good food down there, I have to say.
The founders of New Orleans were given a choice by the gods. We could have great weather or great food. And it's obvious which one we chose.
Oh, so what in your personal practice is helping you right now? What's the thing that comes up for you?
So I've been doing a lot of writing and revising of the writing that I've written in the past. So yeah, just looking at different myths that have been told over the centuries, so old myths that we tell each other, stories about the gods and goddesses and the entities that we connect with, and then writing new myths from new entities that I encounter in my meditation travels, entities that are connected with the temple, and just writing about their stories, I find is just a really beautiful way to connect to them. Because something that I've discovered is when you offer, hey, if you tell me your story, I'll write it down for you to the best of my ability, they're going to tell you some crazy shit. But it's really just like a very intimate experience with them. So I've been really enjoying that. It's been working for me.
Awesome. So this is my last question. It has been for basically this year. What is the best advice that either you has been given to you or you have come up with that you think might be helpful to the community?
You don't have to fix it. Just be with it. Feel it.
That's a
Witness it.
good, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, you don't have to fix it all the time. That's a, because, when we think about fix it, we get into that rescue or victim role too. And I know for myself, there are times where I'm just like, I just want to be listened to. I don't want to be solved. And
Yeah, just bearing witness to something is really powerful.
yeah.
Sometimes people, events, spirits, just sometimes just giving them a voice and allowing them to use it is what's necessary.
Yeah. Because there might not be something you can do or, or advice you can give or, things like that. You have to step back and go, thank you for sharing that with me.
Yeah. Or it might not be the onus might not even be on you, right? To fix it. Even if there's something that you can do, this could be an experience that they're having that's necessary for their growth, and they need to work through it themselves, and that can be difficult too.
I know as a pagan leader, and having had experiences where people have told me what they think I should do, I will sometimes go back to what is my goal? What is my mission statement? And does this match my mission statement for what I want to do in this world? And if it doesn't match it, I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't help you. So.
Yeah, I think that that's really powerful. I think that goes back to like our ideas of divine will, right? And of following our divine will, and what that looks like for each person is different. But I think that when you're in tune with that, you get a better understanding of how to proceed with yourself and with other people, and then also when not to proceed, right? It's just like, that's not for me. Here are five other names of five other people who might be able to help you, but it's not me. That's not mine to carry.
I can be your witness, but I can't be anything else, in that moment. And I also think, Christopher does this to me all the time. He's like, I tell him about, oh, I'm gonna do this such or such spell or something like that. And he's like, is that really your will? Have you asked your higher self? And I'm like, you're so mean. I want to, this was looked like a fun spell. No, just kidding. But he will sometimes do that and remind me to ask for whether or not that's actually my will. And yeah, and allowing it to be unfixed and just be heard is part of that work.
It's a hard one.
It is, yeah.
Hard one. I think for people's personal journeys, and then as well for our larger like collective journey as a culture, right? Like it's hard to watch things fall apart, or it's hard to watch people hurting, and all you can do is like you can't fix it. It's not your job to fix it.
I mean, that is partially why I stay away from talking about news or any of that, because I have to go, okay, what is within my control? What is within my influence? And if I set, I mean, this is a Stoic philosophy, right? So if I focus my goals on what it is I can control and what it is I can influence, but don't get attached to the influence part because it's just influence, it's not control. I have to just accept the things that I can't control and try to, using the things I can to sort of influence those things. And it's a rocky road. I do, get upset every once in a while and I'm like, oh man, but I can't control that. I'm gonna have to release it. Okay.
You have to feel your feelings and not do anything to try to like stop it or short circuit it. And I think that's the hardest thing sometimes, is just allowing yourself to feel the things and sit with it. That's hard.
Well, thank you, Ashara. Let us close down with our closing prayer and let our listeners get on with their lovely days. So we thank the Great Spirit and the two who move as one. We thank the three rays of love, will, and wisdom. We thank the goddess and the god who move through us and work with us. May we recognize your presence in our lives. Blessed be. Merry meet, merry part, and merry meet
Very
again.
meeting.
Bye, listeners.
Bye.
You've been listening to Voices of the Temple. The contents of this podcast are copyright 2010 of the Temple of Witchcraft. For more information, please visit templeofwitchcraft.org.